It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin reading with the 29th verse of that chapter, Exodus chapter 23, verse 29. So while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. We get right to the study. It's so important that we spend the precious time that we have together in God's Word. Exodus chapter 23, verse 29, and we'll begin reading there. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the fields multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. Thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou, and Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has said we will do. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar unto the hill, under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrifices and peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it into a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And then Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Let's begin now with prayer before we start the study today. Father, I thank you that we have this wonderful opportunity to come together, to be together. It is just such a blessing, dear Lord, and I thank you for it. I ask that you will show us your way and will. This is a precious area of Scripture, as all your words are so precious. Please touch our hearts with it. Guide and lead us to salvation. If we have not come to know you as our personal Savior yet, lead us so. Show us our sin. Show us the need of salvation that we have. And don't let us be deceived by the world, but come to that saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. So please today convict the hearts of sin and bring us to salvation. And Father, for all that are saved, that are born again, that do know you as their Savior, please today that they will walk with you and fellowship with you and be serious about serving you and praising you and caring for the work that's placed before us as we live upon this land and this earth. So please today guide and lead us now and direct us in your word. And I do thank you for your word, dear Father. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to fellowship with all these folks over your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we have a wonderful study today, as always. And we come to a close of this 23rd chapter as we're beginning to look at that. And I want you to not miss any part of this. We have been looking at how God cares for His people and how that He gives us such blessings, and we need to be able to seek those blessings and depend upon His strength each day. And some days it seems as though that it's easier to see Him and His power and His strength. Other times we just find ourselves kind of helpless and hopeless and wandering around, and that those feelings, those ways are not the ways of God. The ways of God are that He will direct us, and He will lift us up, and He will hold us. And I hope that today that you recognize that it's God's power that keeps each of us going and not our own strength. And if you have had any kind of trial or tribulation, you've, I'm sure, found out that you can't depend upon your own power and your own strength. And in so doing, God puts some things in place that helps us, and particularly the nation of Israel here, to see what to apply a dependence upon God. And we have something, we've had the Lord's Supper to remind us of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And we have it here once a month. The scripture just says, however often that you do it, do this in remembrance of me. And so if you have it once a week or once a month or once a year, it whatever it is, that's its purpose. God put into the place several feasts and festivals for these this nation of His, the nation of Israel, that they would be reminded of Him and of His the need for dependence upon Him. And in doing so, why, they gave three, that they were to go back to a city, a place where God would meet with His people, and we know that to be Jerusalem now. At this time, they didn't. But then there was three feasts throughout the year, three of these festivals that they were to be traveling home, so to speak. But it was, again, a dependence, a remembrance, a reminder that they needed to depend totally and completely upon the Lord. And today, I'm afraid that we find that we lack that dependence. We get pretty independent in our ways and the things that we do, and we in turn have we fail the Lord's what we do. We fail having His joy and peace that He desires us to have. And so we have the three that He has called them back home to is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. That's the three times He made it convenient for them so that they were not losing the work that they would need to do, the spring or the fall harvest, things like that. It was between the harvests. It would bring them give them an opportunity to bring the first fruits, things of that, to them. We have others, and I'll list them all here. We have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of First Fruits. I missed that one, I'm sorry. Feast of First Fruits, then Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. And what a wonderful opportunity, and we're going to be talking about that as we continue this study, what a picture that is of the life of Israel and of ourselves. This is also time periods, and we're going to be looking at that. And so I hope that you will enjoy that study when we get that far. So we have God setting up things so that we will depend upon Him, and we need to do the same thing. And that's one reason that, some people say that I can worship at home. I don't need to come into church. I don't need to do that because I can do everything I need to do at home. Well, we're to come together. Number one, God says very clearly not to forsake the fellowshipping, assembly, and also the need of each other. You know, when we do not come into the house of God, then you're kind of you're being selfish. The gifts that God has given you, you're not sharing with anybody, and you should be coming. And there's much need in the church today, and there's much work to be done. And so if you just kind of focus upon yourself and maybe your immediate family and says, this is good enough, it's not. It's against God's word. We need to recognize that. And also, it is a form of obedience, to come into the house of God, to be in the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or however often you have services. We have a Bible study on Tuesday afternoon that the ladies have, and it to be faithful to do there, to come, and once again to recognize how weak we are and how we must depend upon the Lord. By being faithful unto the Lord, that in turn helps us to grow and to be stronger, and the Lord is able to bless us. So we have that first, and I've really spent a lot more time there than I intended to, but we need to see that we need to depend upon God. And God puts things in our lives, in our schedules, that helps us to recognize that we need to depend upon Him. We need to be in service to Him. And many things that we have in our churches today, the services that we have in our churches, should do that. God put this demand upon them, and it was a command that every male adult come into the city of Jerusalem on these three occasions, and it was a dependence. I want you to obey me. And we need to obey the Lord. We need to follow after Him. And so we have this, and in doing this, and then He began to give this promise, this land that would be theirs. And in doing that, why He speaks of how He's going to run out the Amorites and the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites first, and then the Hivites are later here, and then the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. And thou shalt not bow down to them. Remember, and we need to be so careful that we do not bow down to the gods of this world, but we bow down to our God and our God only. And then he continues and he says, you know, I will bless you so. Your bread and your water will be as full nourishment to you. It will be everything that you need. I will keep sickness from you. I will allow all of the land and the animals to produce. And there will be a great blessing. The greatest blessing that has ever occurred upon this land will come to you because you are my people. And all you need to do is come and bow down before me and follow me and watch my commandments and do them, and I will bless you. I will not drive them out, it says, because now here's this land. And we have this beautiful land. And I've pulled a couple of maps out to kind of take a look at it today. You know, as we look at what is existing today, because we have the area here that he is going to give, and that's in verse 31. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river. I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. He's going to do it little bit by little bit. And originally, when they leave here, they're going to be here, camp here for a while, because they're going to build a tabernacle, and then they're going to begin to go up, and God is going to test them. And they come up to Kadesh Barnea, and when they arrive at Kadesh Barnea, which you can see on a map, if you would, it's the northeastern part of the Sinai Peninsula. It is up above what would be in the wilderness there. It is straight across from Goshen, if you would go west east out of Egypt. I'm sorry. And so as we look at this land, the Amalekites were down there. It's in the area of Edom and Moab of the olden times. Then as it progressed in later years, why we find that it's just that area, Kadesh Barnea, is south of the Gaza Strip. But from that area all the way north, and today we would go through, Jerusalem, go up through Nazareth, go on through Capernaum. We'll come up to almost up into the area of Beirut, into Lebanon. All that area, the area that Israel possesses today, plus much of the land that is known as Lebanon today, everything all the way down to the Gaza Strip, coming way down south to a land of Hebron, Beersheba, into that area. All that was the original promise, and God even was going to give from there all the way over to Babylon, over to what we know as Baghdad and everything. All that land was going to be, and much more, if the nation of Israel would have stayed faithful to their God. But the original promise was to start with Kadesh Barnea. They went there, they landed there, they camped there, and then they sent spies in, if you'll remember, to check the land out. And we're not going to give any results of that report right now. If you do know the story, you're very familiar with what happened, and it cost them 40 years because of it. And how many times have we made decisions in our life that has cost us our lifetime, cost us 40 years? Maybe some mistakes that we've made has cost us our children because they chose not to serve God, not to praise God. And so we have lost that generation and the witness they should have had to their generation. We have lost. Multitudes of people are going to wake up in hell when they die because of decisions that we make. And we need to see that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our power and for our strength. And so as we look now at the, again, this area, and look at the modern map as they would put it up, because you see that often over there. You look at Israel and the West Bank and all that area, then come right on up and you'll come into the land of the country of Lebanon, and that was the original part that God intended to give, and did. They possessed it. If you look, you'll find very easily the division of the 12 tribes that went into that land. And it doesn't get up as far as Beirut with the original tribe, but it goes into the land of Lebanon around Tyre in that area there. And it does circle over, because we know 2.5 of the tribes went on the other side of the river, and so they even got into Syria and those Jordan, those areas. And so that hopefully will help you. The Golan Heights, you hear of often, that was part of the area where the 2.5 tribes that went on to the other side of the river set up their homes and families and began their life. So I want to spend just a little bit of time for you to kind of see the area. It goes all the way up the coast, the Mediterranean Sea, and then goes over to the Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, down to the Dead Sea in that area there. So now that we've kind of got that in our minds, here's the promise. And in verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the fields multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. You know, that's a tremendous work that God does. We've talked about this last time we were together. You know, He doesn't want this land to be overrun by the animals. He doesn't want the land to be overrun by the by brush and things like that. This land has been cleared. This land is farmed. This land is productive. Even though they are the enemies of God, God still uses them, says, let them have the land and use the land until you have need of it. And so we begin, and so ever so slowly moving the enemy out of the land. And it's a couple of things, again, that we need to see here. Number one, it's the keeping of the land, so they don't have to go in and have the animals overrun with their crops. We kind of have that today, don't we, with all the multiplying of the deer and turkeys and all those things, and it just kind of eats all the end of the corn rows or bean rows around the edge of the field for the population that's there. But God knew that He would control that, and He did that. The people would eat the animals, the people would eat the fruit of the land, all that, and even the enemies can have that until you have need. When you have need, I will move them out. What a promise. And moving the enemy out, keeping the land, but it also gives them one more thing, and it's just like these feasts. It gives them a dependence upon God. And it's so important that we depend upon God. We depend on everything else. We depend upon that paycheck that comes in at the end of the week, or hopefully it comes in. We depend on so many things. But one thing that we must depend on, and the only thing that will not fail us, and that is our God. And we must depend upon Him. And so this is another continual action as they would see their God move the enemy off of the land as they would grow and increase. What a blessing that this should have been to these people. What a wonderful opportunity that should have been to this nation if they would have listened. And in turn, the generation that was to take this land over didn't get to because they would not listen to the Word of God. And so, but God had a plan, and that plan was, and each time it produces a dependence. If you will trust me and walk with me, I will show you. And if they would have done that, He would have walked forwards and cleared the land. And what a wonderful picture that is. And we have, once again, I will set my bounds from the Red Sea even to the sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee. And thou shalt have no covenant with them, nor with their gods. I don't want you any kind of agreement with this, because they're enemies. They worship the gods of the land. They worship the creation, not the Creator. Please, he's begging these people. He is pleading with these people that they will look only unto Him and depend upon Him only. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. And we have proof of history that it was. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And so we finally get finished. We have the promise. We have, I will send hornets before thee to drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites in the 28th verse there. And so God will use whatever means that He desires to rid that land of the enemy so that they can have that land as their own. And He said, I'll move them at whatever speed as far as your multiplying. Now we have Aaron, his sons, and 70 elders. They're invited to witness the glory of God. What an invitation. What an opportunity. And we need to see that he says, and worship ye afar off. Our reverence. To worship afar off, as we look at that first verse. We need to reverence our Lord. We need to put Him in His proper place. Before you come near unto our God, we must prepare our hearts and our lives. You know, when we come before our God, we should enter into His house. We should, if we're in our home and in our prayer closet, wherever we take special time, and we should do it often. I fellowship with the Lord continually. But there is special time that you sit and you're with Him in His living Word. You're desiring His will. You're seeking His strength. And we must come with a humble heart, a love, an adoration for Him. And today I see that in such a sad, sad condition. And I know it is. I can't look into the heart of the people here that call this their home. I can't do that. But I do have the ability to look at the fruit. And when I'm saying the fruit, I can tell when somebody comes in to this place that we call a church, this gathering place of the saints. I can tell what kind of condition their heart is in by what they have on. He said, oh, Larry, you know, you're back now to have to wear a tie to come to church. No. I want the folks, God desires the folks, to be neat, to be clean, and to come in a reverent mode to worship and praise God. You see them today, even on the church signs, they'll say, come as you are. Well, I've said it before, if you come as you are, you're going to leave as you were. I want you to come into your church. I want you to have taken time that morning to properly dress, to come in a worship mode, a means ready to praise our God together. And when you come in with your shirt tail out, or you come in with your hair undone, you come in with your clothes on that you are going to wear because you're going someplace after church, and it's more important that you dress for the activity after church than being presentable before our God as we come together. We don't judge, but we certainly can be fruit inspectors. And I know, and so do you, when we come and we do not have our best on, trying to show our God that even our best is nothing but rags to you, Lord. Our best is nothing but rags. Please, dear Lord, will you accept my sacrifice? Please, dear Lord, will you accept me? And the only way, of course, he'll do that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I ask you that you think on that and stop, because today it is such a disaster and such a sad day when you see folks that they go out on Saturday night and they put their good clothes on and then they come into the church and they, I don't have to dress up. I don't have to dress up. I even hear the comments that, you know, I'm dressed all week long. I have to do that all week long. I have to wear good clothes all week long. I'm not going to do it on Sunday. Oh, my friend, where is your heart? Where is your heart? That should be the very day that you desire to put your best on, to come before a holy God in as much respect and as much love of our God as we can have. I wouldn't want to come before him any other way. And even that way to a holy God is nothing but rags. But my heart desires, not that somebody else can see me, but my heart's desire is that, God, I'm coming with a humble heart. And here I am. Please, dear God, accept me. And I know he does. Would he accept me if I come in rags? Yes, he would, if that's the best that I have. But you can tell by the way people come to church that they give no thought that they're coming to meet together with other believers a holy God. You can do with that whatever you want to, but you've got to think on that. I want you to think about that. Because our God is holy, our God is just, and I want you to see this. Even Aaron, to be the future high priest, was said to worship afar off. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh. And they will come, and they will come with a worshipful heart. They'll come, and we must come to God's door with humility, with a love, with a desire, respecting the place, recognizing our distance, that we are nothing but sinful flesh and God is perfect. What right do we have to not come thinking about that I have come with my to offer my best unto you, dear Lord? Now please, that I can serve you. Please let me be used by you. What an opportunity that we have. And my dear friend, as we come together each time, I always ask that question, what are you going to do about Jesus?